Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is September 20th, 2023. We're here to review AEW Dynamite Grand Slam from Arthur Ashe. We've got Alex Pawlowski here. How you doing?
Pretty great. Fantastic night of AEW. Interesting stuff coming down the pike for Rampage and Collision, and my birthday is next week, so me and the fam are going away for the weekend to go to a little vacation thing. Should be a lot of fun. So yeah, I'm in a good mood.
I'm in a good mood. This was a great wrestling show. It felt like a pay-per-view, and it that's how I think this should feel. Yeah. Is like a two-hour pay-per-view on TV. This is how I once envisioned Battle of the Belts feeling when they announced it. Yeah. You thought it would be like a Clash of the Champions, and that's how this felt, like a WCW Clash of the Champions. Guys, if you're here, please leave us a thumbs up. We are working on status updates on Moxley and Adam Cole. We'll see what we can find out there. But subscribe, tap that bell for notifications. Also, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. If you want to ask a question, you can send them here on youtube.com/Fightful. And also on humperchats.com, that's how you can get your question or statement read on the air. You can leave your questions or statements before we go on the air as well. And we are here every night on Fightful. Monday for Raw, Tuesday for NXT, Wednesday for AEW, Thursday for ROH and Impact, Friday for SmackDown, and last weekend was a big SmackDown. John Cena, The Rock, Fightful Select broke a little bit of news about that I'll pat myself on the back for later. We'll get those plugs in when it's due. But then Saturday, we got Collision as well, and that's hardly it. A bunch of news shows throughout the week as well. But that's how you stay up to date with everything that you watch or you don't watch. Maybe you don't watch ROH and Impact, and you're like, you know what? That Impact 1000 sure looks fun. Let me see what the guys have to say about it. But we're here to talk AEW Dynamite. First off, I want to thank our great moderator, Luis, who's going to be helping us out here, getting your super chats, humper chats, appropriately sent. Johnny Darling had sent one for Sour Graps, but it was sent today and says... Didn't get the chance to listen to the NXT recaps live, so I can't participate in the puns. Here's some delayed pirate puns. Now, just so you guys know, normally this shit don't fly on Wednesdays, but this guy's sending us money. Noam Yar.
That's good.
Yoho Lun. Here's a good one. Scurvy Scott. Whose house? Scurv's house. Rum Rum Bigelow and Excalliwagger.
That's good.
That's good. Those are all very good. Honestly,
those are very, very good.
Those are all very good. Listen, yeah. I refuse to allow us to have any fun here.
No,
this is like when I banned the cha-cha slide from my wedding playlist. I said, "Don't do it."
No fun.
Don't do it. Said Snuka says, "Solid show. Kind of a bummer. There was no surprise. I thought there was going to be a surprise. One was teased to me all week, but I reached out. I was like, "Hey, anything with Mercedes?" And they're like, "Nope." There's not. Everybody that knew really anything reiterated to me, nope. Nope, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Thank you to Alex Bradford and Dungeon Master of Puppets for becoming YouTube members. We post a lot of behind-the-scenes footage on our YouTube membership thing. It also gets you a free super chat here and there. Also, we've been posting some archived episodes of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. We might post some archived Sour Graps as well for you guys if there are some special editions in that sense. But let's talk about how we started this show. And AEW started this show with an absolute banger. They started it and I thought ended it the right way.
Yeah.
We get Eddie Kingston finishing his story. I love Ian Riccaboni was there on the call. This man quite literally left a virtual class he was doing, did the commentary, and I think went back to doing it, doing the class. So I think that's great because this is the ROH story.
Yeah.
This is the threaded story and one that these two have built up for quite some time. And this match was phenomenal, Alex.
So great. So great. I love the Claudio working the hands. What it like you never see like you see people like breaking fingers, but like literally like stomping on his hands, like leaning the crown of his head into the back fist because that will hurt his hand more than it will hurt your head because chops and the spinning back fist. That's the main thing you gotta watch out for from Eddie Kingston. So Claudio decides I'm gonna try and work and nullify that. And how does Eddie end up winning it? Not with one of those things, which is so great. There was amazing stuff between these two. It really felt like the true culmination of over a decade of storytelling between these two men. Eddie keeping the story going just through his seething hatred for Claudio while he was Cesaro, and then immediately picking it back up when he came to AEW. This is perfect. What a perfect way to end it as well, because it gives Eddie that title that he has so long coveted. It's beautiful.
Dungeon Master Puppet says Eddie two belts partner. And, Maddie says have Eddie win the AEW belt and combine the belts. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they like having Ring of Honor, available. I mean, if you've seen anything from Tony Khan, you know that Tony Khan liked having AEW Dark and Elevation around.
Yes.
And if it were up to him, I think he'd still be booking 15 match Elevation tapings and stuff like that. And who knows, maybe with the advent of Max and AEW down the line, that would happen. But ROH isn't going anywhere, I don't think. Dungeon Master Puppet says that Eddie finished the story before Cody. The irony. Oh, man. Sawyer said Eddie winning with the powerbomb for Kawada in New York is the top wrestling moment of the whole year for me. And face MJF in New York City hits different. I mean, it's so funny because you look at Eddie Kingston, you hear me, you don't think, and I don't mean this in an insulting way, you don't think like wrestling geek.
No.
The man adores professional wrestling, the history of professional wrestling, and honoring the professional wrestlers that inspired him. And I'll always have a ton of respect for that. I think that is amazing. And again, I mean, it's still, even though I'm sure like Kingston outweighs Claudio, it's still like impressive to see him powerbomb Claudio, right?
It's true.
I'm sure Claudio makes himself light as a feather, but it's still impressive to see, right?
Yeah, it's great. It was a really great move to finish it. The storytelling of Kawada and like that moment where he basically told Eddie to win a match with the powerbomb, and Eddie saved it for the biggest match of his life. It's great. Gotta love it.
We've got Bizarro Big L saying, what was tonight? Eddie getting hometown win is such a good feeling. I don't think I needed surprises, but some build to wrestle dream would be nice. All nut shots were deserved. Hope Mox and Cole are good. Did a double take seeing Tom Grassi ringside. It was cool to see him. I've seen a couple of his videos. I don't think this night needed surprises by the end of it. I think it was a great show. I understand why some people were hoping to see that. Yeah. But I think that getting feel-good wins, big moments, good matches, I didn't personally think there was a bad thing on the show outside of the injuries. But Eddie Kingston winning at the start of this show is a great way to put people in a good mood, Alex.
Yes. Yeah, it really is. And it's incredibly special. Not only does he finish the story, not only did he finally get revenge on Claudio after all those years, but he does it in New York. He does it in front of his people. And like, there's no better place. I thought they might have had him beat Claudio this past April when they fought. But it wouldn't have been this. It wouldn't have been here. It wouldn't have had that specific moment. There was like when he won the open weight title, beating Kenta, like, and the outpouring of emotion, just the tears that immediately came from him. Tonight was different. It was like he was awash in this euphoric state of having been able to do this in front of these people. Like, also the weight having been lifted from him after all these years of chasing his big win versus Claudio, and he finally does it tonight. It was just a beautiful moment altogether.
And we've long known that wrestling history is AEW history, but I'm very, very happy that that they reference Loki and Homicide here as well. Like, I think that is very, very cool. I'm so glad to see that. Yeah. I've been sent a video of do the dance.
Yep, Tony Khan doing the dance. Yep.
Love it. Love to see it. Maruf says, love Claudio rocking Misawa green. He was in. Yes, that's a good shout as well. Please, by all means, continue to send super chats, humper chats about this. As we go through the show, we will go back to that. Tony P says, you may have answered this and the list goes on, but I wanted to clarify that I meant top five WWE stars whose contracts are up next year that you can see going to AEW. Well, like, listen, I don't know who all's contract is up. Right. I know that Sheamus's contract is up because FightfulSelect.com reported that. Mm-hmm. I know that Drew McIntyre's contract is up because FightfulSelect.com reported that.
Yeah.
You know that Becky Lynch's contract, is that one that we broke as well? FIFA Select on the best $5 in the business.
It might be.
And us too. Wait a second. Did we also tell you guys that Kevin Owens' deal is up at the end of next year as well? God damn it, we did. We did, didn't we? FightfulSelect.com. Tonight we had news on the Santana Ortiz thing that is kicking off at Rampage. There is real life heat there, and we've got some story behind that. But I'll just say this. Leading by example, these two fellas, because what are they doing? They're shutting the fuck up and going to work. That's what they're doing. For so long, I had people say, well, why didn't you report that Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa had real issues? Because they shut the fuck up and went to work. Like, there'd be catty things said behind the scenes. They showed up, they worked with each other, they made money, they made magic.
Yep.
So FightfulSelect.com. We have a lot of great stories over there. Oh, listen, we're breaking more than half the wrestling news out there in the world. You get it first. I know some of you are like, you know what? There's Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts that post it out there. Yes, and there ain't a single one I haven't had to correct. You can ask questions on our stories. You can get, you can check out our Q&A shows every week as well. Grapsity's got one tomorrow. I've got one on Friday. So check it out. Just $5 a month. And listen, if you don't have $5, might I consider stealing it from somebody? Like, I think you should steal money from someone and then subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Commit identity fraud. Mug somebody in your neighborhood. I prefer you would do it without violence, personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe strong arms.
Yeah.
Turn somebody upside down, shake the change out of their pockets.
That's always good. Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Colt says, alarm emoji. TK did the Daniel Garcia dance post show. I love it. But yeah, as far as who I think.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Could go to AEW. That's tough to say. Like, I think that Tony is probably, if he gets the opportunity, going to offer Becky Lynch a lot of money.
Right.
That she is such a transformative personality to have.
Right. Right.
And that is the type of person you spend the type of money that you were spending on CM Punk or in other people.
Oh, yeah.
You offer that kind of money to say, oh, okay. Now you got no excuse to not spend a lot of time on this as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christian Cage interview challenged Darby to a triple threat for the TNT title at Collision. Matthew Hook says the Rampage and Collision cards look fire. Like, wow. This is amazing. This is so good.
It's great. Where he's like, I challenge you to a triple threat, but with you, me, and Luchasaurus. And later, like, If you really want, you'll accept my challenge for this handicap. I mean, triple threat match. That was great. But I mean, I don't know anything, obviously. But I just love that Christian keeps presenting scenarios that would be perfect for an Adam Copeland to show up during, like the hey, you know what? You and Sting might have beaten me and Swerve in London, but I didn't have my usual tag partner, wink wink. And then no, they're doing that on Rampage. That's taped, so that's not gonna happen. But a triple threat match that is actually a handicap match, I mean, wink wink. So I have no idea, but I love that Christian keeps putting things out there.
Christian's got to get the pin, right? And he will then actually be the TNT champion, right?
That would be the idea, right?
Oh, I would love it. I would love it.
That'd be great.
Chris Jericho defeated Sammy Guevara. Sammy's entrance was not good. Was not.
No.
Are
you not a fan of the Montese? Is that what his name is?
I actually am. Oh. I just don't think that wrestling has figured out how to do like live mixing.
Yes.
Of a lot of those stuff. I mean, like, I actually rather enjoy Montese. But
I enjoyed the knockoff leather vest Y2J thing with the light, with the Christmas bulbs on it.
But yeah, that was pretty funny. I thought that was a nice touch, a nice little shot. But listen, one of our friends and former sponsors has some answering to do. Our friend Destiny FOMO is the latest Fightful affiliate to get caught red-handed singing Judas live at a crowd. First, it was Demon Diva. Then it was Cher Delaware. Listen, we graciously allow Destiny FOMO to give us money.
I know.
To promote her Twitch, her OnlyFans, all that good stuff. We didn't know that she was going to, I don't know, become a Judas in our mind and betray us and sing this song live in front of thousands of people.
Yep.
Destiny, we thought you were better than this.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointed us. It's dirty money. It's blood money we got a hold of now.
Not great. No. No, not great at all. No.
You hate to see it. The youth of America you do. Corrupted. Destiny FOMO. What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the match happens. There are some spots where I was like,
oh, yikes.
Oh, and then they ended up, you know, okay. I actually liked the finish. It was a shooting star into a code breaker that missed just a slight, but I think it ended up working well. Sammy sold it like $1 million.
No, you sold it like death. Yeah, absolutely.
But what I thought was most interesting is what happened all after the match. No disrespect to the competition that I saw in the ring. Mm-hmm. Zach Barber says, can Alex at least admit it was the best code breaker Jericho has ever hit? Just perfect.
No, it wasn't perfect. It literally missed its target. I mean, it's a high degree of difficulty trying to land a code breaker with the perfect timing off a dude doing a shooting star press, but it wasn't perfect. It was a spectacular way to end the match in the wrong fashion by Jericho going over, but it was a spectacular finish. I will give it that, but I don't think it was a perfect code breaker.
And there were many callbacks to WrestleMania 19, including after the match when these two men embraced. And at that stage, Chris Jericho was sort of, he was the, I don't want to say the youngin, because he had been world champion by then, right? Like, he'd main evented a WrestleMania at that point.
Sure. Yeah.
But he's in there with Shawn Michaels, and he stole the show with Shawn Michaels. They hugged. Shawn Michaels goes, there, pal. Jericho kicks him in the balls. That's what Sammy does to Jericho. Yes. So that was a nice callback. Jericho's career coming full circle. Mm-hmm. I think there's a bit of a story to Jericho's past sort of catching up with him and the people that he once inspired using all the tricks that he had up his sleeve throughout his career.
Yeah.
To do that. I mean, like, I could see somebody, you know, running his head into a monitor on the highlight reel type of thing, like we saw with Shawn Michaels as well. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of things that we could really dip into the reserves and go into there that I know that you would be personally excited for.
Oh, ecstatic. So just the idea that going into this, there's two ways this can work out. Is the match can break down into something. And I thought that Jericho would turn on Sammy during the match, but certainly Sammy would win the match. Like, it doesn't make sense for this whole time for Sammy to have been waiting 4 years for this moment, and then Jericho wins, LOL. But also, after the match, for Sammy to be the one to turn on Jericho, so Jericho comes out looking like the good guy here, it's just perfect. It's everything that I don't like about Jericho just encapsulated into one thing. However, with the added bonus of Sammy being immediately taken into the family by Don Callis, now there's actually legs to this. And I'm interested to see now, because Sammy and Takeshita together could be really fun, but I want to see Don Callis like expand this over the next couple of months to like early NWO numbers, not when they started like inducting like Vincent and stuff, but like just maybe five or six guys.
That was pretty early.
That's true. It was this, they inducted.
I think he got a bad rap. I think you needed a guy like Vincent. And I think that it made sense that they had a guy that got they knew would get his ass whipped all the time.
That is true. That is true. Yeah.
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 Oh, man. So Chi-Town Spurs says the Jericho thing really bugs me. And you realize that not only is he the face in this, but none of the former Yas members have won a match since splitting. Well, they barely won matches when they were with him.
That's a lot of the vast majority
were featured significantly less. Like Jake Hager didn't get featured nearly as much. 2.0 didn't get featured nearly as much.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work. And I'm ready to see Jericho not doing a stable for a while.
Right. Me too.
Meet Normus says I wasn't a fan of Sammy until he kicked Jericho in the yambag. Yambag Jones, as Taz would say. Well, we saw that, but then we saw Don Callis come out. And Don Callis was like, I think I got a new family member. Mm-hmm. And Sammy leaves with him. And you know what? I like that because Sammy's very easy to hate. And there's nobody on the roster more easy to hate than Don Callis.
Right.
So why not just embrace that? Sammy ain't getting cheered.
No. Well, that's the thing is they attempted for a long time to get people back on the side of Sammy Guevara. And I think they read the room and realized that just wasn't going to happen. So what is the most maximum impact you can have of him firmly turning heel? He kicking Jericho in the balls and then riding with Don Callis, who is the most hated man in all of AEW.
Yes.
This is it. That's the way to do it. So at least they figured that part out. I cackled when Jericho won. And then when Jericho turned out to be the good guy, like give a hug and then get kicked in the balls. I was like, of course, Jericho says I'm the good guy here. Right.
He's the good guy, but he's also the guy that got duped.
Oh, yes. Well, no, but also all baby faces dumb. So it's perfect. Right.
That is a thing that I often bring up. Like one of the reasons I think the Road Warriors worked so well as baby faces. And it's something, if you ever watch their WWF documentary or WWE documentary, they said, okay, I know we don't look like we're smart people and we're not going to like ace a math quiz or anything, but they wanted their characters to be street smart because it was not easy to root for stupid people. Right. Like nobody is like, oh, I love that guy who's dumb as hell. So backstage, I'm actually very excited about the next direction for Sammy Guevara because Daniel Garcia gets into his face.
Yeah.
And Daniel Garcia doing literally anything, get the hose. Come on. I'm ready. And well, especially a person he's got history with.
This is what I really liked about it is because all Derek Garcia did was stand there. And Sammy's like, you want to go? He's so riled up from this that he's decided he's going to fight Daniel Garcia. And Don Callis does what? No, leave him alone. This kid's money. Leave him alone.
Puts him over.
Because Don Callis wants to bring him in. Now we see how this is going to work out. I don't know that that's going to what's going to happen. I think that the interesting thing here is a Garcia versus Sammy Guevara thing that we get out of this. But I'm not sure if we need Daniel Garcia aligning with anybody. I think that guy's really interesting by himself.
And I like the idea of Don Callis just like slightly like and slowly scouting and poaching people. Cause he can say, how many managers have we seen try to put together stables here? How often do they work?
Yeah.
Like you see them come and you see them go. But Van Twinblade says week 12 of waiting for my Danny G to come out to Pony by Genuine, beginning to lose hope. Luckily I have Jake something versus War Horse in a casket match Sunday at Glory Pro to look forward to. I am a big Jake something guy. I think that he's fantastic. I'm glad to see him back in Impact. Yeah. Terry Allen Jr. says, why does Alicia Taylor from NXT no longer mention hometowns? A layer of a person's background. That's a good question that I don't have the answer to.
Yeah,
I'm going to ask about that, Terry. I'm sorry that I don't have the answer for you, but
they haven't done that in a while. And I now that you mention that, like, I don't know where most of the major people in NXT are from. And I wonder if they will, like, come up with something when they go to the main roster. Because I don't know.
Yeah. We've got Tony Baloney saying Jericho ends up with Omega and Coda versus Don and company. I think so. I was surprised to not see Omega on the show tonight because I was surprised. Any thoughts on the ramp to ring gimmick? I love it. I love the flat one.
Yeah.
Oh boy. I had the opportunity. I didn't ever get to work on one that was like that, but I got to go roll around in a ring where one was like that.
Ooh.
And got to do a little bit of the spots jumping in, out of the ring and all that. Mm-hmm. It is such a different layer and a different aspect than what anybody is used to when they work, but also it provides a lot of spots like what we saw in the Tony match as well.
Yeah.
I like it. Anything different, anything that makes the venue feel a little bit different and not be so monotonous. Like Alex, one of the things that I mentioned, I wish they'd go to like Hammerstein Ballroom, go to the Mall of America. Their first wrestling is running shows there. I don't want them going to Sturgis because everybody's racist there, but something similar, like give me a different look, a different view, something that isn't the same.
Doing a major named Rampage at Mall of America, and like everyone knows that as the site of the first Nitro. Everyone remember, like that is a seminal moment in wrestling history, and paying homage to it and going back there would be a really cool thing to do.
Be a very cool thing to do. Adam Weller says, as someone who commentates for a living, I aspire to be Taz's level of self-pops. The man is golden, especially during the U.S. ads. Wait, U.S. ads? Listen, Adam, I'm sorry, but I don't see those. And that's because NordVPN.com/Fightful allows me to watch AEW on Fight. Whoops. I've often talked about how much of a pay-per-view buyer I am. Take that any way you want it, but I'll tell you how I take it. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Fastest VPN on the planet, global server network, all that good stuff. That's great. But a big, big reason why I got NordVPN.com/Fightful is all the pay-per-views I buy, all the money we're spending. We're trying to control costs as a company, as a household. You can get those UFC pay-per-views at a fraction of the price you're paying here in America. Plus, you can get all kinds of great content that you wouldn't normally see thanks to those services as well. Shows that are on overseas services, things that you want to watch a little bit early so you get on that UK time and watch them. Being able to change the interfaces of things like the WWE Network, maybe you don't like Peacock, anything like that. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that ability while having the fastest VPN on the planet. Also, you just get so much more out of your internet experience with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Subscribe to Fight and AEW Plus. Watch AEW without commercials. Watch bare knuckle boxing. Watch UFC pay-per-views, boxing pay-per-views at the rates they're getting over in the UK. Change your virtual location with just one click. And hey, if you need any help, NordVPN.com/Fightful. John Moxley defeated by Rey Fénix for the AEW International Championship. This very clearly was not supposed to go the way that it went. It looked like something happened early on. Tim says, was Mox legit injured? Seems like the match was changed at the last second. There is no way that was meant to happen.
No.
And if it was meant to happen, it's WCW 2000 level of bullshit. Like, oh, because if a ref on a kayfabe fake show isn't counting a three, well, that's just bad. So the match is what it is. First off, I think it's a bad idea for Rey Fénix to be doing that move to a guy that much bigger than him.
Yeah.
Not a good idea. There are multiple wrestlers in my inbox right now, like not happy about like the way that unfolded. Jakenator says, Rick Knox was amateur hour. He let Mox take another dangerous driver after that. Refs should count to three no matter what if one can't kick out. Absolutely. And this is lot of companies say you call it as a shoot in case that happens. So, Moxley, whatever happened on that first that first pile driver, he was messed up.
Yep.
He was messed up. Or Rick Knox didn't do his job and count to three. So what happens after that? Another one. Bam. Out. Now, referee or doctor jumps in the ring. Renee's checking on Mox too. Regardless, if it comes out tomorrow, now nah, Mox is fine. They just, you know, we're covering up for it. Still, sure. Somebody screwed up. Still, yeah. Somebody screwed up in a finish of a major title match. And I say major title match because this championship main evented their last pay-per-view, Alex.
Yes.
And I got no problem with Rey Fénix having it. He's one of the most incredible performers in the world. But this very clearly wasn't supposed to happen. And not to pick on Rick Knox, but this looked horrible. It looked horrible all around. From a guy getting hurt and maybe it not getting caught to the one, two, No, I'm sorry. That's a three count. That's a three count. And if you need to reverse things, you just run it back the next week and you switch the title. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. It's also a bummer because the match was great.
Yeah.
The match was excellent. Both guys. We always talk about how differing styles make matches great. This could not have been a more differing style of Fénix doing all of his amazing acrobatics at a couple of times. He does this roll through to try and jump up for his cutter, and Mox just punches him in the face. That was great. That amazing, the old RVD leg drop to the barricade. Well, I'll go ahead and raise you me from the top rope all the way to the barricade leg drop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That was crazy. Probably the best shot dive in wrestling this year or ever was the one where Fénix ran toward the camera on the ramp and dove over the cameraman. And then a perfect cut to the other camera getting the landing. That was amazing. This was a great, great match that unfortunately ended in a terrible way. The ref.
That's what everybody's talking about.
The ref should have counted the first one, for sure. But I was watching it back and going, I'm pretty sure I've only seen Fénix do that to guys who are 5'8 and shorter.
Yeah.
You got a dude who's 6'3", all of a sudden, where you put him on your shoulder, your torso's not long enough to protect him from hitting the ground like that. And that's just a number, that probably should not have been agented into the match just because of how much bigger Moxley is than the normal guys Fénix does that move to. It's really too bad. I hope Mox turns out to be okay. If this can turn into something really interesting for the Rey Fénix overall story, that would be great too, because I think that guy's amazing.
Yeah, he is amazing. You and I were our big Lucha Underground guys. Yeah. We loved it. Check out my interview with Ricochet, by the way, guys. We spoke about Lucha Underground and all that, but this was, and you know, I'm not this is the dangerous spot. Ultimately, I believe these guys are professionals,
right,
and all that. However, there have been some repeated instances of this. Crazy says, good show, hope Mox and Adam are okay. Moxley did walk out under his own power.
Yeah.
Tony says, what a show. Other than the Mox injury, it was a great show. Hopefully it's just a mild concussion since he left on his own. That was the fear that I was hearing. It'd be lucky if it were that, and we're glad we're lucky it's not an Owen Hart, Steve Austin thing, because I mean that's the way that move was primarily done, was the tombstone variation, and then it went over the shoulder,
right?
But I mean, the guy who did that in America for the longest time was 400 pounds. It was Rikishi,
And
to be quite frank, your head wasn't getting between his legs anyway. There was plenty of padding there for you.
Yeah.
It says, also my last humper chat today on the hump. I was rushing and didn't explain it in full detail. We did talk about it on The List Goes On. ES77 says, what a great Dynamite. Was super bummed that Mercedes didn't show up with this crowd to set up a match with Saraya. The pop for her would have cracked the roof. Hope she debuts soon in the right setting. The Mox match, was he supposed to lose? Is he hurt? Don't know if he was supposed to lose. Don't know if he's hurt right now. Things weren't looking good then. So one of two things was supposed to happen. Either one, he got hurt, or two, he wasn't supposed to lose. Or three, actually, one of three things. Or he was supposed to lose, and the ref didn't count the three appropriately.
Yeah.
As far as Mercedes, I'll have a little bit more on that this probably Thursday or Friday. But I mean, she's still in a boot. Will Chisholm says it did pop me and make me mad when Mox did the stomp and the fans did the Seth chant. I love that. I like the little nods and the respect shown between them.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady says, off topic, do you think CM Punk ends up in WWE? Alex, what do you think?
There's a lot of hatchets to bury. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Man. That's the deal with me is, like, not hatchets to bury and bridges to rebuild after they burnt into the river. There's a lot that would have to come into that, you know? I think maybe for like a test run, like a one-off, like a major match, just like to see what happens and see what the reaction is, A, backstage, and B, by the fans and all that kind of stuff. And then maybe you bring him back on a longer contract, maybe something like that. Because there's certainly, listen, controversy creates cash. That's what we always like to say. And there's a lot that would create a lot of controversy, a lot of buzz around perhaps CM Punk returning to WWE. That would be a thing to do, you know, as in particular, if they're saying we're definitely doing Rock versus sure. Roman. I mean, then it leaves Cody without a dance partner for Mania, perhaps. And I don't know, man, there wouldn't be a bigger thing to do than Cody versus CM Punk.
Sarah says, Mox was out at the start of the match, looked like his head got squashed off the ramp, struggled to recover, had Phoenix slow down, then, well, the end. Yeah, that's why I mentioned that. It did look like there was something awry near the start of that, and there was an exhilarating dive from Ray Phoenix that went really well, or looked really cool as well. Jordan Scott says, if Mox is good to go, can see them using it as a means to have a death match between the two with the story they've been taking out each other at the WD. I could see them going that route as well. I mean, make the best out of it. Turn nothing out of something.
Yeah.
Craig says, all the matches tonight were really good. People need to quit bashing Moxley and Ray. They're great performers. Nobody's perfect. I mean, nobody's perfect, but still, you count the three.
Yeah, no, that's...
Count the three, regardless.
Of the three men involved, Rick Knox to me is the one who deserves the lion's share of the blame for the end of that match.
Sure. Sure. And I don't think that's us picking on him. I think it's, you count the three. Yeah. Irene says, really hope Mox will be okay. Would you have Mox win the title back very soon or let Phoenix have a run with the title and let Mox finally take a vacation? I think you should have Phoenix defend it in an open challenge next week in a banger. And then hopefully at WrestleDream, Mox takes it back or something.
If they had legitimate, like concrete plans for feuds and stuff, if you're just going to have it be the open challenge machine, there's no reason why Ray Phoenix can't hold it for a couple of months. If you said, oh, no, we had plans for Moxley to feud with this guy and then this guy and then this guy, well, then, yeah, you got to put it back on him. But if it's just going to be open challenges, there's no reason why Phoenix can't keep it.
Majestic Marie says, I know I'm late, but I'm so happy right now. I wouldn't be here right now if not for Eddie Kingston. He helped me so much. So happy to see him win. I love to see that, too. Like, wrestling does an awful lot of things for an awful lot of people. And I just love to see people sharing that as well. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in, my friends. Saraya defeated Toni Storm. I enjoyed the hell out of this match. The false finishes, the pre-match, Toni Storm's got a new presentation, a new entrance. This was a sports entertainment match, and I think that the division could stand some of that because you need more characters. You need people who can get over, quite frankly, in 1 or 2 minutes because that's all the time they're going to get on TV. Mm-hmm. So Toni Storm has figured it out, Alex. She figured out how to get an arena full of people to, or a stadium full of people to cheer for her after 1 or 2 minute segments. So if you can find a character within that women's division that is able to do that, or you're Britt Baker and you can do this and the crowd's going to chant for you, that's good. Yeah. And she's the first one to figure it out. And I'm hoping others do too. Really loved this match. There was a really great false finish with the Rampage where Saraya just planted Toni Storm. Planted her. There was a spot where Toni Storm grabbed Saraya, kissed her, hit her with the Storm Zero, 2 count. I thought that was the finish, too.
I thought that was the finish, too. Yeah.
Then they go to the finish. I thought a pretty smooth distraction into the finish as well. I think this is one of the better matches that Saraya has had since she came back. I thought it was a fantastic dance partner. They had story. They had history. They had an over-performer in Toni Storm. And, I mean, objectively, regardless of what anybody thinks of her, Saraya is the most famous woman on that roster right now.
Yes. I thought that this over-delivered. It was a lot of fun. I love that Toni Storm has this wonderful, obviously the character is amazing, but part of one of the benefits of the character being what it is that she can go for hidden spray paint and everyone is rooting for her to hit Saraya in the eyes with the spray paint.
Yeah.
And then immediately boos Saraya for hitting her in the eyes with the spray paint that Toni went and found. It is a heel maneuver to go and find a hidden weapon. But we love Toni so much that there's a whole, because also she's kooky. She's wacko bananas. And we can allow for a lot of different things to be the case with her this way. I thought this was really well done. But I got to say, man, just the magic of the black and white entrance for Toni, it's perfect. Like, this is the thing, is I honestly feel like the character works best without a title because she's only going to spiral further downward. So they said that the little installment of her and RJ City was the first to be continued.
Yes.
So her going, like, getting further and further out there every week that they do those little things, it's perfect for the story. Saraya doesn't have to lose it to Toni Storm. They're gonna keep it on her until they have the right person for it to do, for it to be. And I think that I'm very much looking forward to whatever Toni Storm does, title or no title.
I thought this was a really fun match. Just a really, really great one. Craig said, Toni's character has been sensational. Saraya looked so much like her old self. Smooth, strong, execution, and snug. She's the perfect foil for Toni. Those slaps at the beginning I thought looked really, really good. Again, I can't remember what she calls it anymore, but the Rampage just planted Toni.
Right.
It looked really, really good. Mm-hmm. Saraya only needs like 5 things that she needs to do well because she knows how to get a reaction, and she did it really, really well. Zach says, Toni Storm is in my top 2 favorite things in wrestling behind MJF. She's just done great work. The shoe spot was fantastic. Yes, she beat.
That was great.
Shoes.
Watch out. She told you to watch for the shoe. If you're not watching for the shoe, that's your own problem.
Anime Otaku said, Toni Storm's new presentation is amazing. Also with Eddie Wins, what's the odds on finishing on -1 finishing the story before Cody? Pretty good if The Rock comes back. Oh, man. Oh, my God. Craig Reeves says Toni's character has been sensational. We read that one. Luis! Sheldon says Toni Storm for TBS champion. Feel like that championship would fit her character way more than the AEW Women's Championship at the current moment. I think no championship fits her character right now at this very moment. She has gone the Chelsea Green method where she doesn't really have to win. Chelsea got the tag titles because she got so over that they're just like, well, let's throw a wrinkle in this. But her character is fueled by not winning.
Yep.
The Righteous versus the Hardys versus Kingdom versus Best Friend ROH title contender match. We also have Julia Hart versus Sky Blue. And then Santana in action for Rampage Grand Slam. But Alex,
yeah,
you've been covering NXT for a very, very long time.
I have indeed.
I don't think that Roderick Strong would ever be accused of being like an outstanding promo, right?
No. The knock on him was that he was just so boring. Like an amazing wrestler, but such a bore, no character whatsoever, no comedic timing, no charisma, just a wrestling cipher. That's it. Yeah.
So Roddy is in the hospital, and Matt Taven and Mike Bennett are there dressed in black because they're mourning, and they're like, "We're going to do everything that we can to raise neck health awareness." Yep. And what was going on? That Roddy is visited by Adam Cole, and he's there for like 2 seconds. I mean, objectively, he's a pretty shitty friend.
He's a terrible friend, especially because they said this happened this past weekend, and both Taven and Bennett, and also Adam Cole said, "I got to get going. I got to go to Grand Slam." Like, did they have to like? Are they taking a horse and buggy there? Like, how you got to get to Grand Slam? There's several days between now and Grand Slam. I don't feel like it, but anyway, this was amazing because of Adam, I'm here, buddy. I'm here. Where is he? Open your eyes, Roddy. That was amazing. Oh, there you are.
Listen, I have the answer to Roderick Strong's woes.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that bed that he was in that he rose up in, Alex?
That was not a good bed. That's a rough bed.
He needs helixsleep.com/Fightful. There is no sponsor that I use, awake or sleep, more than helixsleep.com/Fightful. I often say, hey, you know, when I'm awake, I use that NordVPN the most. And then I thought about it. I'm like, wait, I have two couches from their sister company, All Form, which make great stuff too, but at least 8 hours a night, you should be on your helixsleep.com/Fightful mattress. You can get 20% off any purchase for a limited time using the code Fightful and get 2 free dream pillows, a $150 value at helixsleep.com/Fightful. You might say, ordering a mattress online? What? Well, let me tell you. Helped me out. 2020 is the pandemic. I wanted to invest in my sleep. I wasn't sleeping okay. And I was at home all the time because we couldn't go anywhere. I was tired of that slab of memory foam I was sleeping on. So I searched on the old Google machine. I found Helix. I found their 30,000 plus 5-star reviews. And I was like, I'm going to give this a try because I didn't want to go roll around on some mattress at the mattress store that somebody else had been on. I didn't want their fleas all over me. So I went to helixsleep.com. I took their quick quiz. I was matched up to the Dusk Lux model. And as a result of that, I'm now able to sleep on my back and my side. Before that, it was just my back. And now I get a better night's sleep, a fuller night's sleep. I'm more rested. I'm feeling good. I saw all the great reviews from Wired and Apartment Therapy and GQ and Good Housekeeping. Won best overall mattress for all those places. But it's comfort designed for everybody. They have mattresses that will fit anything you need. If you're plus size, if you need ones that cool you down, ones that align your spine, helixsleep.com/Fightful had you covered. And when I got mine, I hit them up and I said, I want to help other people. Let's do a deal. And they said, heck yeah. You get a 100 night sleep trial to test out your mattress, a 10 to 15 year warranty, free U.S. shipping, and financing as low as 0% available. So they got payment plans that can fit anybody. If you don't like it for some reason, any reason, they'll come get it. helixsleep.com/Fightful. Maddie Nice says, Tony has the gold dust entrance. That's true. It is very similar. Sawyer says, instead of a title, have Tony win some sort of special tournament and give her a gaudy trophy gimmick. That is a really good.
Oh, yeah. She's always carrying around her little Oscar shaped thing. That would be amazing. Amazing.
That's a very good idea. Tom LaValle says, hashtag neck strong tonight more than ever. Mm-hmm. Listen, mm-hmm. everybody loves somebody who is strong in the neck, who does their neck exercises, mm-hmm. who makes sure that the neck is treated appropriately. Bill says that bed reminded me of a Naked Gun scene. It's a little before my time.
Just go. Oh, great.
Oh man, MJF and Cole said, or MJF and Cole segment on their own outside, and Roddy is calling him saying that he's gonna die.
You're not gonna die, dude. You're not gonna die.
Oh man. So there's this MJF intro that is phenomenal. It is a play off of the old Bret Hart video in a hallway where a kid goes, "Bret!" And it zooms in on Bret Hart's face, and he walks up, and the kid goes, "Go get him, champ." And Bret gives him the sunglasses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This happens with MJF exactly like that, but MJF walks up to the kid, gives the kid his scarf, and whispers in the kid's ear. And as MJF leaves, the kid goes, "Dad, I'm adopted?" Mm-hmm. This was phenomenal.
Perfect.
This was really great. And yeah, I'd kind of forgotten, like, MJF has had some of these, usually on Long Island they'll do something special mm-hmm. like this, mm-hmm. but it fit tonight, and it made it feel like an even bigger event, even though it was a complete parody. Alex,
no, listen, this is what I keep saying about this MJF babyface run. It is a parody. It is a perfect parody of all of the babyface tropes. All of them. Like, if you can watch back all these matches where there's just certain things of where he gets injured in the match versus Dark Order, and then they cart him to the back, and you just know, like clockwork, he's gonna come out pushing his way through all the doctors and the refs and security so he can be out there to help his friend. Damn it.
Yeah.
Like, all of these things, they're perfect parodies of all the babyface tropes. So this match was also laid out like one, except for this one I love, because what is a babyface thing in modern wrestling? You just can't kill him. No matter what you throw at him, no matter what you do to him, he's not gonna lay down there and die. So all the increasing things that Samoa Joe would do to him throughout this whole match, to the point where it's entirely absurd, where they've cited that if Joe hits the muscle buster on MJF, MJF will die. He will just be a dead person. But he kicks out of that too. It's so great. It's true. It's real. But it's pulling from all of these different wonderful babyface tropes. And why? Because MJF isn't really a babyface. He's a parody of a babyface. He'll go back to being heel and be like, you all fell for it. It's going to be great.
I'm told that BCC, Renee, Tony were all outside of Mox's trailer after or during, like during the show. So hopefully he's all right. So this match has a very interesting spot where Adam Cole dashes out to the ring and ends up hobbled to the back, hobbled around, looked like he tweaked his ankle. Hopefully that's what it is. Just an ankle sprain or something like that. I mean, I got a quarterback with a bad calf and they're like, he's going to tear his Achilles. Mm-hmm. You just never know. So I hope he's all right, because losing him would be really terrible. Tim saying looked like he tweaked his ankle. That would suck so much. But Adam Cole's helping MJF be a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. But Samoa Joe knows what he was choked with.
Yeah.
And he's like, "You got me." Well, GG's.
Man.
So what happened was, a chain was tossed. And by the way, MJF tried to use the ring, got caught. Mm-hmm. And MJF said he was going to choke out Samoa Joe. He
promised.
So the chain makes its way into the ring. MJF chokes Joe with it, but hides it and makes it look like he's using the rear naked choke. Then Adam Cole hides the chain. Even after the match, Samoa Joe's like, "You got me, bro. Good game. Mm-hmm. Get you next time." Shook his hand. I kind of like that out of Joe. I like that he's like, "Oh, probably would have done the same thing, man."
The here's the thing. Samoa Joe, who's seen it all and done it all, has nothing but respect for a guy who will do literally anything to win.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's it. You know what? I should have been on the lookout for that, because
it was his wrist tape. Whatever.
He's choked out a guy in a different match using his wrist tape before. It's one of his things that he does. But anyway, I love that Samoa Joe is respect for doing what I would have done. I think that is honestly perfectly fits Samoa Joe. It really does. There were moments though in this thing where I was like, there's no way MJF can kick out of this. And then he did. And I was like, okay, that's the story. The story is he can kick out everything.
Yes.
But I was buying, honestly, like who better a transitional champ in AEW than Samoa Joe? Like if they were ever going to do it, like kind of crazy thing.
Solidify him as right. a champion level guy there. Right. Yeah, for sure.
And also like if there was going to be, you could easily do a thing where MJF gets the title back. They've built Samoa Joe with this kind of mystique around him that you absolutely believe he might have won this match. And I was very happy about the ending. It'll be interesting to see where this storyline goes. I did not have this kind of dalliance away from the core MJF character lasting so long. We are now into October. The story being he's gonna hold the belt for a full year and beyond up until the switch from 23 to 24. It'll be interesting to see if this is the story that carries us all the way to the end of the year, or is there some other wrinkle that happens along the way?
When MJF won this title. And he had said, you know, bidding war of 2024, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, man, how are they going to keep this interesting? How are they going to keep me interested in this story? And at times I was like, he should lose the title mid-year, regain it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very interested in his reign. I've had really very little belief that he would lose the title, yet I've been perpetually interested in his reign.
Right.
It hasn't been the what's next, who's next, which is so often what pro wrestling becomes. It's who's next, who's next, who's next. Well, with Roman in WWE, they found it.
Mm-hmm.
In WWE with Gunther, they found a guy that people are just like, he's champ. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I am with MJF. I look at it and I go, he's the champ right now. I think he's the top guy. I don't see anybody clearly that I look at and say, well, they should be champ besides him. I don't see anybody there right now. And not that there's anybody that couldn't be.
Yep.
I just think that he's doing a killer job.
Yeah.
And for me not knowing if it was chain, wrist tape, tag rope, I was on ankle watch at that point. I was looking at Adam Cole like,
man,
just tears Achilles. Like, I was worried.
He jumped off of that ramp. They should have, in hindsight, created something just for this particular spot. So Adam Cole could like run down a flight of steps or something. Just in hindsight, having Adam Cole run down that ramp and jump 4 feet off of it was probably not the best idea.
Matthew Hook says, there are so many stories in AEW right now. That's what AEW needs. AEW needs stories to develop these personalities. Roderick Strong right now is getting over.
Mm-hmm.
Did you even think about Matt Taven and Mike Bennett 2 months ago?
No.
They weren't factors on the show. And they're both incredibly talented people. Mm-hmm. And now they are outstanding supporting characters on this. Like, mm-hmm. Toni Storm, it's like, what was going to happen after she lost the title? Oh, right. She's going to be more over than she's literally ever been.
Yep.
That's what you need. That if you can have people that are over without even touching the title, That's very good. Sawyer said when Joe joined AEW, people said he wouldn't be very active on screen because he's old and injury prone, but he's given us banger after banger like the GOAT he is. I mean, admittedly, there have been times where he hasn't been active, but listen, he's having a great run. He's doing cool things.
Yeah.
I mean, 2020 hindsight. I mean, not even 2020 hindsight. In the moment, he should have beaten CM Punk. After that happened, it should have beat CM Punk. But yeah. Like, we're looking at a guy who has had over 40 matches since joining AEW. And that was a year and a half ago. And he didn't have 40 matches in, like, the like 3 years prior? James Zimmerman, thank you for being a YouTube member for 17 months. Brandon Charles Powell says, I'd love to see MJF do the babyface trope where the locker room comes out to celebrate with him. I wonder what that would look like. Just the most half-assed, like...
All right.
I would love it, like, Sammy, like, lifts him up on his shoulder and drops him. Because he and Sammy hate each other. I still always want to see him and Sammy Guevara hate each other, too. But I would just love to see that just, like, half-assed, like...
Yeah.
ASAP Fry says... Why shouldn't Brody King win the TNT meat title? Well, because he slapped his meat up against like a wall or something. His hand, his meaty hand.
His meaty hand. He has big, big ham hock size hands, and ham hock is a cut of meat.
It is that. I realized that at the moment I made it sound like he slapped his dick up against a wall or something. He, in fact, did not do that. He didn't do that.
No,
he
didn't
but,
do that.
He has not wrestled since All In, and rumors were that he, you know, was a little upset over the situation and might have cracked his hand. I don't have an update on that as of yet. But you know what, guys? Updates will be coming to FightfulSelect.com. I am very, very proud of the work that we did there last week. Again, I know there are other places you can get your news. I know there are other places that look like they just give you everything for free. Nobody gives you what Fightful Select gives you for just $5 a month. Last week, we reported that The Rock was coming back. I got a nice message from someone in WWE that joked and said, thanks for the number, brother. And I was like, thank you. Yeah, I'm sure it was just all that report. I'm sure that drove it up significantly. I appreciated the candor there. Last week, we had contract news on Prince Nana, Deonna Purrazzo, LA Knight, QT Marshall, Sheamus. I'm even forgetting people at this point. They're all across every country, or all across every company. But yeah, just all over the place. Oh man, he had wrist surgery this week. He said it on his Whatnot stream. Get well soon, Brody. But we had a ton of contract news. We've got a ton of podcasts. We had more news on Randy Orton at the WWE PC, details on the staff meetings and the unfortunate layoffs, details behind why Becky Lynch and Tegan Knox got changed. We had the WWE Raw plans, a bunch of info on the tryout names that were happening. But hey, we broke that news on Jade Cargill's departure as well. A lot of stuff. Roderick Strong got over a hospital bed. He did, but he should still be using helixsleep.com/Fightful. Alex, you run a bunch of shows on Fightful Select.
I do.
Tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me over on Fightful Select. I'm going to do something for the two-hour Rampage. I don't know if I'm going to do a two-hour watch-along because that might be a little long for me, but I'm going to do something during it. Maybe I'll do a watch-along of the second hour. Maybe we'll do that. And we'll talk about SmackDown, whatever happens there as well. Nothing on Saturday because I'm going to be out of town, but I might do something if crazy stuff happens on Collision, then I might do something on Sunday night. Monday we got the Raw review with Kate, and then Tuesday NXT on this channel with Kate as well. Also next weekend there's No Mercy for NXT, which Kate and I will do a review of, and then also on this channel, on Fightful Select, after WrestleDream, we'll do one. Kate is going to be at Wrestle Dream. So we'll figure out, we'll figure something out. Maybe we'll do something after she's back to the hotel, or I'll find a different person to be there. So yeah, she's flying herself out to Seattle to see Zack Sabre Jr. versus Bryan Danielson, because why the hell not?
Can't wait to see how the chicken tenders are at that show.
Well, no, she's vegan now, so you know.
Oh my god!
It wouldn't be chicken tenders. So
I wonder if that contributed to the decision. She was so traumatized.
Now she's going to be out in the concession line getting a salad.
Oh my god! The celery here is terrible.
Yep.
Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we are out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.